Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly's. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right. Time for another installment of It's My House. Today's podcast, and we got a guest tomorrow. We got a live guest tomorrow morning. It's going to be a good one. Today, I ran across a video, late last night. Man, I've been binge-watching how-to videos and whatnot. Anyway, I ran across this one video last night. Wasn't looking for it. Even in the wee early morning hours of this morning, I ran across it. And it was simple, profound, and, I said, you know what? I'm going to adopt this in my life immediately. And today's podcast is inspired by that, and it's titled Akons, and that's spelled A-K-O-N. He's the singer, rapper, entertainer. Akons 10% Rule. So let me open up my mic here. Open up her mic. Robin, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, great. The hardest working woman in show, and the hardest working woman in the internet. hardest working podcaster online. Cause she works from Maryland. She's 3 hours behind me. She's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. And you're up to like midnight our time. What time is that Hilltop show go off? The start at 9 goes what, for 2 hours?
11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then
I back up on the air at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Jesus in the Morning, which is 4 a.m.
And that's how we met, yeah. But it was 4 something your time.
Correct.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you were able to download get that audio. So could you play for us Akon's 10% Rule?
Yes, I'll need you to open up the mic for area code 206, because that's where I'm playing it back from.
Oh, okay. Let me open that up. It is open up now.
Okay, and let's see what happens.
I got this 10% rule. If whatever I'm purchasing isn't 10% of 100% value of what I have in the bank, I don't touch it. Mm-hmm. If you have a car that you want to buy for $100,000,
right? Mm-hmm.
If you ain't got $1 million in the bank,
you shouldn't buy that car.
Don't buy it.
Right.
And that goes with your house, whatever. If you want to buy a house that costs $1 million, if you ain't got $10 million in the bank, bro, don't touch that house because you're not going to be able to afford it. People don't look at the interest in the long run. And those houses, those are 25, 30-year loan
investments. Yeah.
With that interest backed up, that $1 million turned into quick almost $2 million. I got this 10% rule. Whatever I'm purchasing isn't 10% of 100% value of what I have in the bank, I don't touch it. Mm. So, in other words, let's say hypothetically, if you have a car that you want to buy for $100,000,
right. Mm-hmm.
If you ain't got $1 million in the bank,
you shouldn't buy that car.
Don't buy it.
Right.
And that goes with your house, whatever. If you want to buy a house that costs $1 million, if you ain't got $10 million in the bank, bro, don't touch that house because you're not going to be able to afford it. I got this 10%.
Well, I'm living by that from now on.
I love modern technology. That worked out pretty darn good.
Yeah. It sounded like I played it from over here. Okay, I like that. We'll keep that system going. What I like, and it's interesting that when I discovered this, like seeing the wee early morning hours of this morning, is for the last, since like, I placed the ad Friday, and then I placed another one Monday. I just took it down this morning. And I originally advertised for space, somebody to look out the camp out in the backyard that I have. All right, that was the first one, and then I went on and advertised the whole 4 acres in another location. What I have discovered, and we're going to cover this in detail Friday. We covered a teeny bit of it yesterday. It's a book by a guy named C.K. Prahalad, titled Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. Now, C.K. Prahalad was from India when he was alive. He was a professor over here at various universities. But he was fortune at the bottom of the pyramid. He was talking about on a global end, you know, where you can make a lot of money with people. I mean, there are people out here that their daily income maybe $2.50 or even $1.40 a day. You have people around the globe that's living on that. All right. So he was talking about fortune at the bottom of the pyramid. So when I heard Akon talk about the 10% rule, because I'm thinking most people that have a house, most people that are renting apartments, most people that have car loans, are in violation of the 10% rule because they don't have 100% of that liquid stashed away in the bank or wherever. There's a lot of people that have, well, let's say taking you up in your neck of the woods, King County, Washington State. There's a lot of people that live in a $100,000 home. But let's top that in half. Matter of fact, let's reduce it down to $25,000. Now, I don't know if there are any $25,000 homes in the city of Seattle proper. But let's just take a $25,000 home. According to Akon, that before you purchase that house for $25,000, you should have $250,000 in the bank, liquid. And most people that get a mortgage do not have that type of liquid assets available. Thus, they borrow from banks, they get government-insured loans, yada, yada, yada. And one of the reasons why, I think the primary reason why the tiny house movement is so wildly popular is because most people who get into a tiny house, they build it. They build it based on the budget that they have. They don't get, because there are no government programs for it right now. Banks don't typically lend on something, you know, like that. So that's why they're so, I mean, wildly popular. But anyway, your thoughts, Robin, on Akon's 10% rule?
I think that it, if you can do it like that, I think that that would be the best, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Most sales don't purchase it unless you've got the money saved up and on hand behind you. But in real life, the majority of the people, they don't have their wealth structured like that or available.
No.
Like
no,
that.
They sure don't.
You know, a lot of people aren't, we don't have skills where we can go and get a contract for $1 million and blah-de-blah-de-blah that we could turn around and start advising people. Hey, well, you know what, if you don't have 10%, you know, blah, 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 say, don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's one thing when you're teaching about wealth, but how can I say this? It's one thing when you acquire wealth because of your skills and you got a contract, not because you were mentored and raised and taught up and advised,
mm-hmm.
right? So you want to be circumspect about who you get your advice from, if
right.
you will, because
right.
most people aren't in a situation like Akon. Akon was an artist, so he got in a situation where he could get millions of dollars, thousands of
yeah.
dollars off of, and most people, we don't have it like that. It'll take us several months to work up thousands of dollars like he can off of one song, one contract.
Right.
So,
well,
you know,
there is, I'm going to put out, there is a way, and
uh-huh.
there's probably infinite ways, but the way I'm going to talk about right now is dealing with what I've been experiencing. Actually, I've experienced it before this past weekend, but this is fresh in my mind, okay? Because this is something that anybody who has access to the Internet can do it. Now, I'm going to name a specific way, but the other way. Now, I advertised originally on Facebook for a backyard, and I got a good amount of inquiries. But some of the inquiries that I got had me do a paradigm shift on, okay, let me add this to what I do. And that is people who have campers, they everybody who's called me that's had a camper, they've got jobs. And reliable transportation on top of what they live in, which is a camper. Okay. So I'm looking at, well, you know, they got their own thing, so I really don't have to deal with a person with a tent, particularly when the weather turns cool, and it does turn cool down here during the winter months in Florida. Sometimes it does get cold, but the weather does shift. Probably towards the end of this month, it'll probably do that. So now one lady that I spoke with, she bought her camper, and this is why Friday we're going to do a whole podcast on Fortunes at the Bottom of the Pyramid, United States edition. Because C.K. Prahalad wrote the book, and you can look them up on YouTube. Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid is more of a global perspective. All right, but we're going to do it basically United States. We're going to take a look at the fortune at the bottom of the pyramid here in the United States. So this woman, well, you know what? Let me play this short 2-minute video, and let me explain this conversation I had with this woman. I've had two conversations with her so far, and hopefully I'll meet her tomorrow. Well, anyway.
Also tonight, the incredible transformation and the Buffalo Strong spirit that made it all happen. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Taylor Epps shows us how a young lady has completed her very own renovation project.
11-year-old Lauren Nelson had big plans for her summer.
I thought it was going to be pretty fun, but with COVID going on, it was going to be not as fun as it could be.
But things changed one day when she was flipping through an American Girl doll magazine at her home in Attica.
And she showed us a $650 VW bus. My husband was like, that's ridiculous. You could buy your own camper for that price.
So she did just that, Lauren saved some money and started looking. A neighbor just down the road had this 20-foot camper that caught her eye.
And then the one day, up popped a for sale sign, and she squealed the whole way home,
and she started negotiating.
It wasn't very hard. He said $500, and I said $400 because that was the money that I had in my bank account, and he said sold.
Then it was time to renovate.
It was a process. We brought home a family of mice. And so there was a lot of deep cleaning,
but that didn't stop her.
I was very motivated because I really wanted a place where I could just, like, hang out like my own house.
The whole renovation process took Lauren about 2 months, and with the help of family and friends, she was able to turn this into this.
It's called Camp Hygge. It means very comfortable and safe. It has its own kitchen and bathroom, so it's like a tiny house.
So now you're the owner of a tiny home at 11 years old.
Yes.
The whole project cost her $800.
She has 3 envelopes that she puts her money in, give, save, and spend. I think she made a really good choice. She now says she's part of the tiny home nation.
She was able to turn her summer around and hopes to inspire others to do the same.
Which is awesome to see that somebody who's 11 years old had her own vision but now is out there and other people are contacting us and they've gone out and bought a camper to do the same thing. If you're looking to have some big plans in the future, you should go out and do it. Make it happen.
In Attica, Taylor Epps, 7 Eyewitness News.
Okay, so I wasn't advertising for that, but they called me. So I met with one guy Monday evening, and then hopefully I'll meet with the other one that I've had 2 phone conversations with. Hopefully I can meet her tomorrow. But in any event, in the process, I found out that there are people out here and I'm speaking about in terms of the United States, that they have the lady that I spoke to, she bought a camper that's 28 feet. Now, you listen to Laura Nelson, she's 12 years old now. Laura's camper is 20 feet, all right? The woman I talked to, hers is 28 feet. The guy that I spoke to in person Monday night, his camper is 37 feet, okay, 37 by 8, 28 by 8. And Laura's is probably 20 by 8, okay? So the lady who bought her camper that I spoke to Saturday and yesterday, matter of fact, she bought her camper for $500. Now, in that process, because I got a whole bunch of phone calls, okay, and not phone calls, but inquiries online, interactive, whatnot. I had to give my cell phone to some of them. But that is one of the fortunes at the bottom of the pyramid, not the bottom of the barrel, but the bottom of the pyramid here in the United States when it comes to housing. The demand for people to get into something that costs $400, $500, I would say up to about $10,000 max. There's a great demand for housing at those prices. These people, you don't have to check their credit because they're paying cash. All right, they're paying cash. Also, and the same lady who bought her camper for $500. Okay. Because now I'm looking at her as one of my mentors. She sent me Saturday a picture and some details about 2 other campers. One was $1,200, and I think the other one they were asking $1,600. That's what they're asking. They might be asking for $1,200 or $1,600. They might take less. Just like with the Laura Nelson audio I just played, the guy was asking for 5, but he accepted 4. And it needed work, and it had a family of mice, as the lady said, so, he knocked off and Laura got it down to 400, and then she put four in. So there's a lot of people, and I'm looking at, you know what, these people, once again, this lady and the guy that I spoke to, here's the great thing about this. Well, I'd rather have him over a renter. I mean, over a traditional brick-and-mortar renter. It's because they have a vested interest in their home. The lady who bought her camper for $500, she owns it. The guy that I spoke to with his 37-foot camper, he owns it. Okay. And they're just looking for a private spot to park it. Now, here's another thing I discovered. That, and you know what, it took me virtually 8 years, and then some years before that. But I guess I had to wait for technology to catch up to me. If you've got in-demand item to sell and you price it right, you place it on the right platform online, and that product will sell either immediately or within a matter of hours. Now, what I'm putting out there, like, I give an example, and this is something that I personally experienced. I had a property for rent. I placed it on Craigslist at like 2 o'clock in the morning. 2.5 hours later, at about 4:30, I got my first inquiry. By 12 noon, I had sold the property to maybe 5 or 6 people and decided on one, and he was able to go get his money together. We signed the paperwork, and I had $1,200 within, in less than 12 hours from the time I put that ad online. Now the platform that I'm using, or one of the platforms I'm using now, because I've only used one platform since Friday. You need to prepare yourself, and this is what the Patreon group's about. Okay, it's My House TV on Patreon. You can join for just $1 a month if you want to get in on our cash flow conversations where we do brainstorming like this. It's $5 a month. Be well worth it. But if you're selling something, the way things are structured now online, just do a little bit of research that you can, you know what, the non-friends audio that, and let you know what, I need to play that because now I'm ready to do that. I've had several people, matter of fact, so many people call me that wanted to meet like immediately. But see, I'm 3 hours away. I didn't know I was going to have this much success off these ads. So, but now we have to structure it where if we place the ad like right now, it's about 11 a.m., okay, that I have a team together where we can go to the location and essentially assemble the product within a short period of time and do an open house, and paperwork is signed, the money is exchanged. I would say, based on the calls I got, I mean, I had people ready to meet me now. But I'm going to say nine friends style. Nine friends, the guy went to work. And when he came home, so, you know, let's say it takes him, let's say, an hour to get to work and an hour to get back home for work. So that's 2 hours a day. So you add that on to the 8 hours out of the day. I would say easily that we can show you how you can make money in 10 to 12 hours. But it all starts with you get on Patreon. And now this is for people that are interested in housing, okay, and then join our cash flow conversations segment, which we have probably two, or well, no less than two. Sometimes we might go at it daily because lately we've been going at it daily. Let me play Line Friends and then we're going to come back.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, "What y'all finna do?" He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Now, one thing... Now, we're having little conversations like this now about, you know, buying housing for as low as $400 or $500. I know where to go fishing all day long, around the clock, and really globally, to find housing at those, I mean, unbelievable low prices. Now, granted, you're not going to find it. You got to know where to fish. You're not going to fish in San Francisco and find it. Or Los Angeles, or Seattle, Washington. But there are places within the state of California or the state of Washington or the state of New York where you can find housing at unbelievably low prices that fit the Akon rule. Like, you know what, let's take, once again, the Akon rule, let's take a person and they only have $50. And let's say they got great credit now, but they don't, you know, they want to use their credit, but they only have $50. All right, according to the ACOM rule, that person, the all they can afford to buy would be, I'm getting this mixed up. $50, and they would need $500 $500 liquid in the bank. Okay. So there's a lot of people, all right, so the person who, all right, let's elevate that a little bit. Let's say the person has got $500, they need to have 5,000 liquid. You know what? Well, let's go. Lamar Alexander, because he built that tiny house for a total of 5,000, 2,000 for the cabin, 3,000 for the solar electric system. So, but Lamar did, he did that with cash. So obviously he could afford to build because he built it for cash. All right. So there's a lot of people that, but anyway, forget about a lot of people for now. What we're preparing for now is essentially getting our logistics together, because if you do your social media right, you can place, or I say, you can have a product ready to go, and it can go immediately. Now, in the case of, because the way I do housing, I like to have people look at the product first. You know, go to the location. You know, do you like the area? You know, you like the vibe? You know, go to inside or outside of the property. You know, if it's all to your liking, then we can do business. So I'm saying that, it's like it's 7 minutes after 11 right now. I'm saying place an ad right now, all right, for something that's priced, Lauren Nelson's example. Lauren bought that camera for $400. She put $400 into it, so she had $800 total. Lauren can turn around, and this goes back to what you were talking about, Robin, on how we can stack and get $100,000. All right, Laura. All right, $800 in, all fixed up. Lauren can turn around and she can sell that, I'm going to say, for, I'm going to put it that at three times the amount that she put into it. I think she can sell it for five, but let's put it at three times the size. So $2,400 minus $800 equals $1,600. Okay. Lauren would have to do, $100,000. And she can, Lauren, because it took her 2 months to do it, but they were taking their time with it. Lauren, if they got a team together, they can get a system together where they can buy something, clean it up that day, and put it back online that day and sell it that day. That's the system that we're going to be working on. Once again, go to our Patreon page, It's My House TV, and the tier, the $5 tier, Cash Flow Conversations, that's $5 a month, and you can get in on that. Okay, so, $100,000, that's the goal to stack, according to ACON, the example. And let's say Lauren or you cleared $1,600. I'm going to sanitize this to $1,500. And, all right, $100,000 divided by 1,500, Lauren would have to do 66 transactions to stack $100,000. Now let's take six, or let's 60 divided by. Now let's just divide this by 12 months. How many would she would have to do a month? She would have to do 5 transactions a month. 5 a month. As Robin, as you always say, work with
what
you have.
Hold on, LA. I'm on a call. I'll be right back with you, LA.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You know what? Let's do this. Robin's on a call there. Let's play 9 Friends, and then we'll get back to it.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house, and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right. Robin, when you're available, just punch one of the, you know, the buttons so I can know which mic to open. While we're waiting on Robin, who's probably still on the call, we're going to listen to this.
Out.
Robin, you available yet? Press 1 if you are. In any event, all right, today's podcast, and we played earlier, might play it again, Akon's 10% rule. And Akon, I mean, it's, man, I think it's a basic rule of finance. Before he makes a purchase, if he looks at, you know, is it percent or whatever he has in the bank? If it's not, if it doesn't add up to the 10% that he has in the bank, he doesn't purchase it. The example that he gives two, well, the best, you know, that people can really relate to, is if he wants to purchase a house for $100,000, if he doesn't have $1 million in the bank, liquid cash, because 10% of $1 million is $100,000, if he doesn't have that, he's not going to purchase the house. Now, most people, the way they get into houses, particularly here in the United States, they borrow, you know, 20% down if they go through somebody like Wells Fargo or whatever. And then, you know, they borrow 8, you know, put down 20, they borrow 80, 75 to 80. There are various government programs that allow you to put only 3 to 5% down. And a lot of people who get into those loans, they end up losing their homes. I mean, some do. I guess a decent amount do end up paying off the loan, because not everybody goes bankrupt. Not everybody goes broke. But I really like Akon's philosophy on that. And that's, once again, that's why the tiny house movement globally is so powerful, because most people that are getting into tiny houses, I would say at least 50%, if not 60% of the people that are into tiny houses built those. They built those using the available cash that they had. They didn't get any government loans, because I don't think there are any government loans that are tailored towards that, at least at this time. Most banks are not going to lend you money on it. Now, you might have a personal line of credit. That's a different situation. But all the people that I've met, except for one, that are into tiny houses, living in them or something like that, everyone that I've met, except for one person, they built their own tiny house using their own money. They didn't borrow a penny. You know, now the one person that I know that didn't build their tiny house, they paid cash. They paid somebody else to build it. But they had the cash to pay for it. They didn't have to borrow a penny. They didn't have to go to FHA, they didn't have to go to VA, Freddie Mac, Sally. They didn't have to do none of that government stuff. They had to go to social services, you know, they had to use an EBT card. And I'm not knocking all that. I'm just saying they didn't have to do that. So that's within Akon's rule, the 10% rule. Just like, because I was contemplating, you know what, should I get a car? I just had some housemates that then moved on to something better. That, man, all of this year, matter of fact, for the last year, man, I mean, they've had the car repossessed at least 3 times that I know about. I was up looking out the window when I saw the car repossessed one day. It was not too long ago, about 2 months ago, at about 5:36 in the morning. I mean, the sun was just coming up. They bought it back 90 minutes later, but, man, it, And I, you know, looking at it, then you know, insurance, that he's complaining about the insurance and the battery and the maintenance. And I said, you know what? I've been to 13 countries so far without a car. And wherever I needed to go to once within these countries, I had access to a driver, or I can get on a bike, or I can walk. 13 countries, from Europe to Maritime Southeast Asia. So I said, you know what, because I don't miss, what do you call it, I don't miss oil changes, I don't miss flat tires, I don't miss, you know, being on the lookout for state troopers on the interstate highway, you know, looking, you know, trying to avoid speed traps. I don't miss any of that. Well, if something goes wrong with the transmission, that's going to cost you a grip. I don't miss any of that. So I'm looking at, you know what, after looking at those two, I said, you know what, like I said, I've gotten to 13 countries and all in and out of those countries without a car, without me driving one, or having a car note. That's the main thing. Without having a car note and without having any maintenance, I'm good. I'm good. I'll do Uber. I'll do Lyft. I'll call a friend. I'll get on a bike. Eventually, I'll probably get me an electric bike. But, I'll do that. Matter of fact, speaking of electric bikes, I remember I was going into a guy's electric bike shop up right outside of D.C. in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And it was a young family in there, and they had traded in their van for a modified electric bike that can seat four people. And I always take a look at the wife, the woman, and I'm looking at, all right, well, now, if the wife co-signed in on this, you know, I really look at that, as, you know, as way the ball's going. In any event, let's see who we have here. Okay, great. Robin, which one are you on? Which one should I punch to bring you back on? Or you can punch. Or maybe she's gone again. Well, wait a minute. Okay, Robin. I got a question. All right. I'm looking at the nine friends thing.
Yeah.
Now, this is in relationship, because you mentioned earlier, because when Akon gave the example of, you know, if you're buying a house for $100,000 and you don't have $1 million in the bank, and a lot of people don't have $100,000 in the bank. So
right.
I think a realistic example, a very doable example of not just me playing an audio on here, but from the people I've met face-to-face in the last 3 days. What's today, Wednesday? Yeah. In the last, Monday and Tuesday this week, and talked to over the weekend. I think a realistic example is, all right, now, Laura Nelson, you know, she bought that little camper for $400 and fixed it up, total $800 total investment. One of the people that I talked to, and hopefully I'll meet her tomorrow night, she bought her camper, and this is a grown woman with grown adult kids. She bought her camper for $500, and there's a whole bunch of people that have done the same thing that she's done from coast to coast here in the United States. All right. And then another guy that I met this past Monday, he bought his camper, which is 37 by 8. How much she paid for that thing? $1,200 or $1,300. All right. So I'm looking at using the Laura, what's her name? Laura Nelson example. All right, Laura put 800 in. Okay. Now you've seen it for yourself, and then any of us can go online right now. I can find campers all day long in my state. I don't even have to go outside this, locally. I don't even have to go outside of my county. Okay. It's not as easy to find a camper for less than $1,000. And Florida's got 67 counties. So I'm just talking about I don't have to go outside of my county to find a camper for less $1,000 or less. So going back to the Laura Nelson example, so because like the lady I talked to, she's one of my new mentors. She doesn't know this yet, but she is. I've talked to her twice because she's a pro at this. She bought hers for $500, so $100 difference. Now, the woman that I'm talking to, she lives in hers, but in the example of her or Laura, they can easily sell their camper three times the amount or whatever they paid for it, if it's in good looking condition, moving condition. So let's say $500 times three, although they can probably sell it for about five times as much. But I'm gonna put it at three. That's $1,500. Okay. $1,500 minus 500, which is what they put into it. I'm using my mentor's example, not Laura's example, because Laura, she sold hers for eight, but she put four in. But we can do that right there. So $1,000. All right. So if she can sell it for $1,500. Now on these online platforms, I know for myself, based on the traction that I've gotten, and based on three other properties that I had 2 years ago that I got rid of quick, that you can put something online and it can move within 12 to 24 hours. Most of the time with me, it'll go within 12 hours. All right. And the reason why it took 12 hours is because typically when I place a lot of ads, I place it in the evening or in the wee hours of the morning. That's just me and my weird ways. Okay. And then, you know, when people start waking up and going online, you know, they start sending messages and all that stuff. So $1,500, 500 in, $1,500 they sell. You can sell that for, I'm going to say, within 24 hours. And you got $1,000 profit. All right, so if you did that, $1,000, if you did that 100 more times, you got $100,000. How long would it take you to do it 100 more times? Well, actually, if you get your ducks all lined up in a row, all right, you could realistically do, I would say, 100 days if you just did one a day. Because now I know where to go. I mean, it's no secret. You just go online and you just keep on turning your money over. You can, matter of fact, you can have a model set up, put it online, and do, this is what we plan on doing, do open houses. And then with some of these, you're not going to have all this in one place. You're going to have on-the-ground partners. Like the one I did in New Orleans, I had to do an on-the-ground partner even for the ad because the platform kept on kicking out. It wouldn't accept my ad from here. So I called my on-the-ground partner in Louisiana, New Orleans to be exact. Quoted the exact ad the way I put it out, and then put it on that platform, and then the rest took care of itself. And we showed it to a number of people. There were individual showings. Now I'm looking at to be more efficient, okay, set up an open house. And don't make it a long open house, something that's maybe 30 minutes to no more than an hour. So anybody who's interested will come. So, Robin, we talk later. We're going to work out the logistics where, because, like, I mean, the foot traffic, the local foot traffic, it's there. So it's just a matter of, okay, setting it up. And like I say, if you do one a day for 100 consecutive days, then you'll be able to stack $100,000, starting with $500. So anyway, your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm like, man, you need to end the show and just place ads. because you're the result. I've never seen anybody get results on their ads like you. You're the only person. So,
and you know what? I've waited. It's almost 8. Let my house be 8 years old December 24th of this year. I've waited almost 8 years to get these kind of results. Because now we got to go back to the 80s on this. Back before people got their computers and back before Windows 95 was released, when I was doing radio, okay, AM radio at that, when people were still listening to radio in general, but I know at one station, I was scheduled to do on a Monday through Friday basis. I said, well, you know what, since I'm doing Monday through Friday, you know, I only need one or two calls for a 15-minute broadcast. Typically, I'll do an hour on those stations. But this one, I said, well, let me try 15 minutes because it was a big metro area. I got 55 calls in 15 minutes. Now, you can't go back to that station now and do that because that same audience has moved to online. But now the technology is, everything is caught up. Now, like I said, it's just as well as I know when the sun's going to set. I mean, when the sun's going to rise and it's going to set. I can pull the numbers. And what you saw, I sent you, screenshots.
Yeah.
Of the numbers.
So now we know that when you place the ads, you got to be ready to be in action, right?
You got to set up the logistics of that.
Yeah, so watch this. When you run that ad for Jasper, you darn near need to, like, be there. You need to physically be there to place the ad and then respond. And then have the people blah, 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 like that. Uh-huh.
Because they got money and they're ready to do business now.
Exactly.
But you're absolutely right. We need to set up a system. Now, before I do another ad, because I took that ad down. I've done two or three ads since Friday
you're
night.
Not ready.
Took them down because I got to regroup. I got people that have. Now they're texting me because somehow I gave them, sorry, I know the business is there. Now we need to set up the system because, see, now I'm coming from a position where I've got to stack because I don't have the $100,000 or the $1 million liquid that, you know, Akon said that, you know, you need to have for certain purchases or whatnot. So I'm looking at all right, but I know what I can do on the bottom of the pyramid, and like you say, work with what you have. So that's what we'll do that like today. So the next time I place an ad, it's just like you said, we've got to have people, boots on the ground,
yep.
ready to go.
Watch this. That untapped market, that's the untapped market.
Right.
I told
a couple of times here today, I was advertising for the backyard. I wasn't even thinking about campers. That's all I think about now. So anyway, Robin, you were saying?
Just that that's an untapped, underserved market. And
right.
so in reverse, That's your 10%.
That's my 10%.
You don't have them in a bank, but they're out there in the coffers that you can freely glean from whenever you choose.
See, I never thought about it like that. You're right. You're right. That's my 10% sitting out there waiting. I mean, one guy that I communicated with yesterday, we had a chat. This guy is in Hagerstown, Maryland. Mind you, I'm here in Florida. But he reached out because he wants to move his family from Hagerstown, Maryland, because he's originally from Florida. And he's got a camper. Him and his wife and kids live in a camper. So he was just trying to get ahead of the game before that. I mean, so like I say, he's up in Hagerstown, Maryland. I'm familiar with that because that's not too far outside of Washington, D.C. I mean, I got like I say, you saw the number. So I took down ads because I said, all right, that's a given. All right, what I need to do is just get my logistics together because like you said, Robin, and I've had people that wanted to meet me, like, immediately. But I'm 3 hours away from that location. So, and then other things is that you brought up, Robin, is, well, I can't put everything out on this podcast. But certain things need to be restructured. So, but that's the goal. Ads every day, a product ready to go every day.
And go ahead, Rob. You have to be positioned to blah blah blah. Otherwise, it serves you no purpose to run the ad if you're not ready to physically.
Right. Yeah. We. That's right.
Okay.
That's what we got to discuss today offline. I mean, yeah, off air, because, right, it doesn't do any good to run the ad. We got to have our logistics and everything lined up before the ad is even placed. The ad's guaranteed. I'm not worried about that aspect of it. That's the real easy part, is having everything lined up, because we can sort of do, like, almost do a nine friends thing, because I'm confident to the point. Like I said, it's 11:46 right now, so let's just bring this up to 12 noon. If I place the ad at 12 o'clock, I'm pretty sure that by 6 p.m. I can have a house sold and or rented, depending on what I want to do, or built. Tiny ones I'm talking about, built or assembled, that's a better word, assembled And I'm talking about if nothing's assembled right now, okay, but I've got to have the logistics lined up. I got to have the people. I got to set up the system, plug in the people, and then place the ad. All right, so that's what I'm working on now, because the two that I have in the pipeline now, my goal for this month is 10 blind right now for right where I'm at. So I'm supposed to meet them tomorrow. I figure out of the two, I should be able to close on one of them. All right. If I'm lucky, I'll close on both of them. The one that I might not close on, that person's going to be one of my mentors, because basically she gave me some information that I can run off of, because she's living in her house. She paid $500. And you know what? Robin, there's, talk about an untapped market, there's a high-profile musician, you don't hear too much about him now, back from the 60s and probably early to mid-70s, he lives in a camper. Do you happen to know who that might be?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
There's a popular, iconic musician. He was popular in the 60s and probably up to the mid-70s. He lives in a camper, and you might want to get him on a Hilltop show one night. You know
Sly
who that
Stone.
Might be? Sly Stone
Sly.
Lives in a camper. Sly Stone lives
Sly
in a camper.
Sly Stone, and you'll be happy to know that he was recently awarded $5 million in royalties.
Okay.
In a royalty settlement. Yes, sir, buddy.
All right, excellent. But Sly Stone has been living in a camper proudly.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people badmouth Star behind that.
They badmouth him because they said that he had to resort to that because of his drug use. And nobody ever gave him credit. See, once you fall short, God forbid you've got a vice or blah, 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 blah. But once you fall short, right?
Right.
And people never want to give you credit for your innovativeness, for anything, okay? So Sly Stone was very, very innovative, so much so that he created a band. I don't know if Larry Graham came off of Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, Larry Graham was part of the Family
Stone. Exactly. Exactly. Okay,
yeah,
so Sly Stone was ahead of the curve, very innovative, and he was talking about some of this stuff back then.
Sly Stone's been in the camper.
Unfortunately, because of his drug use, now people want to look at his credibility and say, well, you know, he's a drug user, so he's mad, and so he's not valid about his music, his greenery, his innovativeness, none of that. But if you sat
right
down and talked to him, okay, the man is obviously very shrewd because he won his $5 million case.
And he does, you know what I like about him living in a camper is because, you know, a lot of people, like MC Hammer, when he was living in that big house, that mansion that he called the two, he had two of everything. He called it the twofer mansion or something like that. He had two ovens, two of everything. And he went up and he went down within about 18 months. Anyway, let me play some Sly Stone here and we're going to come back.
Yeah. Right on, brother, and right on, sister. Anyway, learned it in Hawaii.
Now it's time to do some wailing. Come on and dance with me. Nothing is the game and failing. So come on and dance.
I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do. And,
but we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see a trains passing as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done.
Hmm.
I, coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. we're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with them.
If you look at the four driving forces, in addition to globalization, for the first time in human history, 3 billion people are connected. In 5 years, people expect 4 billion people to be connected. That's going to make a big difference to how companies operate. The second, digital technologies are becoming extremely inexpensive. For example, the cell phone is only the starting point that you can get a cell phone for $30. But you can also get 16 gigabits of memory in a USB for less than $20. So the costs are going down dramatically. And this means technology does not differentiate any longer between the rich and the poor. The poorest people can have exactly the same technology as the rich have. Maybe less bells and whistles, but the same technology. The cell phone is just the starting point. And then there is convergence of technologies. The cell phone is a phone, it's a computer, it's a map, it's a watch, it's a camera. So all these technologies and businesses are coming together. And finally, I think social networks are becoming extremely important, like Facebook, MySpace. So if you take these four drivers, connectivity, digital technologies, certainly convergence of technologies and industries, and social networks, coupled with globalization, is going to fundamentally create new opportunities and new ways to compete. So the substance of the book assumes these driving forces and then asks the question, how would the poor and the rich markets change dramatically, and therefore how do we create value? That is the core substance of the book. If you look at what the heritage of most companies are, I say let's go back to Model T. If you look at Model T, it was totally vertically integrated. You put iron ore on one side, you get cars on the other side. All the resources required to create the product was within the company. And more importantly, it was an undifferentiated consumer base. That's why the famous one-liner from Henry Ford, any color car is okay as long as it's black. That's our heritage. No company operates that way today. But that's our heritage. That's where we're coming from. I'm going to the other extreme. If you can think of one consumer experience at a time, even if you have 100 million consumers. For example, Google has 100 million consumers. But I can go to Google and construct my own page. It's called iGoogle. So it is one personalized experience at a time. And a more important part is none of the content in Google is produced by Google. So all the content comes from outsiders. They aggregate it and give it to me. So one consumer experience at a time. And in order to serve that one consumer, you get resources from around the globe. This is very different. It's 180 degree different from Model T. So I call this N equal to 1, one unique personalized experience. And or the resources are global. This is very different from vertically integrated, undifferentiated consumers. That's where the world is going. And that is true whether you're in Starbucks or you're Apple. Apple, you can create your own music portfolio, but Apple does not create the content. Neither does Apple produce the device. The device is made in China. The displays come from Japan. The semiconductors come from South Korea. They're all put together. The software is owned and the design is owned by Apple. But that's about all. So it's R equal to J, one consumer portfolio at a time. You make your own portfolio of music. So this is happening not only in what I call the new age companies, Google, Apple, Netflix, and so on, but also old age companies like in tires, insurance, automotive, and healthcare. So that, I think, is the new approach, N equal to 1, one personalized experience and resources from around the world to make it happen.
Okay, that was C.K. Prahalad, author of the book, or co-author of the book, Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. Friday, we're going to do our podcast on Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid, United States of America edition. Because Prahalad in this book, he's talking about global, but we're going to talk about Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid here in the United States. And part of that, like I said, we've touched on that. People like, now Laura Nelson might be, I don't even know if she's an outlier when she was 11 years old, because you've got generation, there are no shortages of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds that are building their own tiny houses. They got the videos right online. I mean, absolutely no shortage of those videos of preteens and teens that are building their own small homes. No mortgages, no government programs. And you can sort of say they're part of the bottom of the pyramid. Not bottom of the barrel, but bottom of the United States pyramid. And then you've got, Friday, Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid, United States edition. Tomorrow, we have a guest coming in, so we're going to play Claude Anderson and then go straight to the guest. And tomorrow we're going to talk, we'll be dealing with, what's the working title? I had it scheduled for like a month ago, but anyway. It's something to the effect of people who killed the golden goose. People who kill the goose that lays the golden egg and eat the goose. Something that to the effect. It's dealing with generational wealth. All right, but anyway, I do recommend that book, Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid by C.K. Prahalad. He's got a bunch of videos on YouTube that you can get a lot of good information on. But the bottom of the pyramid, and once again, it's not the bottom of the barrel, but the bottom of the pyramid, there are people out here that, you know what, they live in sustainable housing that they own outright, and they're paying under $1,000. Now, granted, you're not going to find these people in New York City, Boston, Massachusetts, San Francisco. You're not going to find them in Seattle, Washington. But if you drive an hour or so outside of those huge metro areas, you will find them. And that's what I call these places where you find people that are living in $2,000 homes, $5,000, or even $10,000 homes. Let's say homes that are valued at $10,000 or less. Okay. And they come in different forms. Some could be cabins. Some could be tiny homes. Some could be homes on skids. Some are sheds that were converted into tiny houses. Some are campers, some are trailers, some are teardrops. And the places where you find these people, this is what I call the real United States of America. Like, I remember one time I had to go to a retreat out in a rural area of Ohio. And I had to go to Zanesville, Ohio. Zanesville's got a population of about 25,000 people, maybe a little bit more than that. But the moment I stepped off that bus in Zanesville, and Zanesville, like I said, has got a population of around 25,000, I said, you know what? I'm in the real United States of America. And then you have to be there to get the vibe of it. And it's all positive, nothing negative, all positive. And then where I was going was like 20 minutes away, and where I was staying was about 10 minutes away. But and just 10 minutes away from Zanesville, it was a different world beyond Zanesville. You know, I got deeper into, once again, what I call the real United States of America. So, that's where the fortune is. It might not be all of the fortune, but it's there. And something that C.K. Prahalad said, you know, and he's passed over, so this recording that I just played for you, it was made some years ago. And as I stated before I even played this today, It's My House is almost 8 years old. It'll be 8 years old December 24th of this year. I've waited actually well over 10 years, probably over 15 years, for the technology to catch up to what I wanted to do. 20 years ago, when I was on another medium platform, you know, put it this way, when I was doing like regular broadcast AM radio, this before Windows 95 was even released, okay, there was no Facebook, there was no MySpace, there was no Instagram, there was no WhatsApp app. No Yahoo Instant Messenger. Well, there's no Yahoo Instant Messenger now, but, you know. So it's now social network. I mean, we had technology. You know, the Internet was around. And people had, you know, Commodore 64s or whatever. And you know, Apple hobby computers. But now the anybody who, you don't even have to own a phone or anything, a device. All you need to do is go to the public library and you got access to the Internet connection. Or I don't know how many, like, you know, if I'm in D.C. or someplace like that, occasionally, and this probably happens to a lot of people that's listening to this podcast, you might jump on the subway or the bus and somebody's sitting right next to you, probably during rush hour, they'll ask you, could I use your phone? Because they know if they look to the left of them or they look to the right of them, more than likely both of them have a phone, but at least one of them is going to have a phone. Okay? So the technology is out here. I mean, because your phone, I mean, the smartphone is the new transistor radio. It's the new TV. It's the new movie theater. It's the new computer. It's the new calculator. It's all that. Okay, it's all of that. So let's go back to Robin here. Robin, any comments?
You know, this is real, real important that you don't want to kill the geese. You don't want to kill the geese that lay the golden egg. You
right.
don't want to fry the eggs. You don't want to consume the eggs. Them eggs are very, very precious. And then don't overlook your market. Okay? And,
right.
and don't overlook the things that you have. See, the millionaire concept, you might feel like you don't have nothing. All these years you've had this land, however long you've had this land, okay?
The one you're talking
now,
about, 6 years, yeah.
Okay, so.
Six years, and that ready market was there the whole time.
And so instead of looking at what I don't have, you know, you go, wow, I've got vacant field. I need to put something on it. I need to get people. I need to do something. Rather than. The millionaire concept is you take what you have and you start with what you have. So the thing with the tenth, right? The
right.
only reason that we were ever discussing tenth is because we were starting with what we had.
Exactly.
And what we had at that time was one-tenth and the land. So that's how
mm-hmm.
we got started
in a backyard.
In a backyard, but then as
and
we
that
put
led
in
to
the
campers.
when we put the ads led us to discover that there's a demand and a market and a need. And remember, I told you this, anything that answers a need or resolve or brings resolution, art is for the greater good of the whole community. Man, we have a winner.
Right.
Okay.
And that's all part of Fame Street, because there's no way I could have anticipated meeting the two people and thinking about the market and now thinking, you know what? All right, let's organize, because you're right. We need to put the ads out there, but we need to get the logistics straight, because like I said, once we get the logistics right on, get the parts to the particular location, have the people on the ground, have an open house.
Placing the ads,
this is something that we can do on a daily basis.
Placing the ads, we can see it only takes minutes or even seconds to place the ad, and then it only takes minutes or seconds for people to begin to respond to it. So you physically have to be ready when you place the ad. You need to be physically
people,
there.
When they respond, they're ready to spend money now.
Yes, and get on. And watch this. If you don't do it like that, then you'll get a reputation and people will not deal with you regardless of how good your deal is.
Right, and that's why I took the edge down.
Because remember, I always say this too, communication is the gauge that we all have.
Right.
To measure the integrity, you know, and discern, you know, whatever. So does that make sense?
Right. And let's see.
Woo! What a day.
There is, well, no, I don't want to announce that on a live stream. All right, what? Robin, give me a call like right after I end this, because there's a book I want you to take a look at, because that's going to connect the dots with what we need to do so we can start stacking on a daily basis. Because you did make a good point that the people that are calling they're the 10%. They're the 10%.
Uh-oh.
So on that note, everyone will be back tomorrow with a guest. Be here in the morning, and after we play Claude Anderson, we'll be ready with the guests.